light as our candles and our prelude. Let us worship God. Call us, O Lord, to worship you. We have come. Now allow us to allow your Spirit to ask you to lead us in worship, to change us, to move us, and to make us one in that Spirit. May this day be the day that your Spirit moves us and changes us beyond anything we can imagine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is page 103, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, page 103. Standing, let us unite in historic confession of the Christian faith, which is the Apostles' Creed, found on the screen or page 881. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Lord, it has been a busy week. We have seen your power on hand. We have watched you as you have at times overwhelmed us with your grace. And we have seen ourselves not pay attention and sometimes feel lost and alone. We have listened to the sounds of our communities, of the pain that is in them and the joy that resides in them. We have heard of those who have suffered and struggled, and we have watched those who are in need. You are in all those places, including in this place as we worship. You are in Charlotte, North Carolina, as the General Conference meets and makes decisions that we may or may not agree with. But they are there and they need our prayers, and we open ourselves to praying for them. We have watched as our country makes decisions that we may or may not agree with. And yet your Holy Book tells us we should pray for our leaders, that they would be moved by your Holy Spirit and they would make decisions that are right and just. And so we do pray for them and pray that the decisions you would lead them to do would be decisions that are right and just in front of you and not necessarily in front of us. We watch as our world is in conflict and we see all that is going on there, and there's so much more that we don't know about that's happening that we open ourselves up to praying for them. May peace happen and may quietness happen and may safety be there for all, even though it is not there today. May you love us when we're unlovable, as we ask you to love the unlovable around the world, because we know that you create us in your image and you gave your Son for all of us. May we hear you. May we be moved by you. And may we open our hearts to you. Now, Lord and our God, we thank you for the blessings of your presence, the blessing of our families, and the blessing of your Holy Spirit. For those in our midst who are suffering with sickness and pain in their families, I ask that you would heal them. For those who have had surgery that needs to be complete healing, let that happen. And for the ones who are going to have surgery this week, may that surgery go well and may complete healing happen there or even before the surgery takes place. And in all things, we give you our thanks and our praise and our love. Now allow us at this time as your family to lift up holy names to you, that we can be in prayer together as a family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers and teach us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, to pray when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before we sing our next hymn, I would say to you, I did forget one announcement, which is our Wednesday night Bible study will not happen this week. Miss Mary Lynn will be in surgery on Wednesday, and so we want to be in prayer for her as she goes for that. And if you want to ask her what she's having, she'll tell you. I'm just not telling you, but she can tell you because it is her surgery, not mine. All right, my friends, let us stand and sing together Love Divines All Up at Cell on page 384 or graciously on the screen. Let us pray together. What a gift you have given us, everlasting life. Let us give our lives back to you as we give to you to support our church, the ministries of our community, but most importantly, we give because of your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Would all please stand for the reading of the word. Today our reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Help us, O Lord, to understand justice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in this one of Jesus' parables, he begins by these words. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Let's start here before we do anything else. The parable is based on the need to pray always and not lose heart. It's two separate and complete statements. Praying always. How do you do that? You ever thought about it? Is there any time in your day that you don't pray? You can pray while you're having a conversation, to have the right words to say in the conversation. You can pray as you're driving down the road, and if you drive down the road as much as Mary Lynn and I do, you might want to pray for us as we're praying to drive down the road. You can pray in the midst of turmoil. You can pray in the midst of joy. But in this conversation, it's not just about praying always. There's the term not to lose heart. How many of us at this point in our lives, or at any point in our life, frankly, have lost heart, lost hope? How many of us have found ourselves swaying away from our beliefs because we see how things are changing, how our world's changing, and we think there's no hope whatsoever for our world and our lives and our communities or our churches? We lose heart. We have doubt. So the parable is meant to address these two issues. Pray always, don't lose heart. So if you read the parable around anything but these two issues, you're missing the point Jesus is trying to make. Okay, so watch it. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. I love this guy. Y'all may think he's lost his mind. I love it because he's honest. He doesn't fear God. And he has no respect for anybody. He's a judge. He doesn't have to fear anybody. He doesn't have to have respect for anybody. He is the one in charge. And in his land, at that moment, in that country, he gets to say so. And there's nobody there to make him do anything else. Didn't fear anybody, didn't fear God, didn't care what you think, didn't care what people think about him. He simply does what he does. Y'all know anybody like that? Know anybody that doesn't fear and they really don't care what you think? Sometimes, my friend, it actually is better off not to care what other people think. Because sometimes you get so caught up in what other people think, you can't think about yourselves. You're simply caught up in all they're saying about you. One of the golden rules of pastoring is don't let what people are saying about you stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Second golden rule of pastoring is you won't please everybody. Don't try. Now, it's not just pastoring. How many of y'all are pleasers? You want to please everybody. You want to make everybody around you happy. And what I found out is almost all my pleasers are some of the most miserable people I know. Why? Because they're spending so much time pleasing everybody else that they don't do anything for themselves or their family, or maybe the families who they're trying to please, then they don't do anything for themselves, so they walk around miserable all the time. Christy, you and pastors have a lot in common. In the sense that if you tried to please every student's parents, and every teacher in your school, how would your life be? You wouldn't do that, do you? You wouldn't know, would you? But that's what makes good principles. Trying to do the right thing without worrying about pleasing. Notice the terminology. Right, without worrying about pleasing. Not that you don't care about them, as this judge didn't care, but you simply want to do what's right. So watch it. This is who the judge is. Same city. There's a widow who keeps coming to him saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." And so he refused her. But later he said to himself, now let's stop here and talk about this lady. Y'all know people who just won't let it go? You know anybody just won't let it go? They get on a topic and good gracious, they're going to do that topic and stay after you. They're going to wear you down by not stopping. And every time you come across them, you think you're talking about one thing. All of a sudden, you're talking about that thing they're wearing you down on because they won't let it go, and they sneak it in. You may be talking about something that has nothing to do with anything they're talking about, and somehow, they find a way to get it in there. Here it comes. They may even say, "You know, this is a nice topic, but we didn't stop talking about." So here are the two people. Judge, don't care. Not afraid. Widow who says, "We'll see. I'm going to keep coming." Wants justice. Now, we actually don't know what the justice is for the opponent. So I would ask you a question. I have no answer for her, are you? I'm just asking the question. What does justice look like for you? If you had to define justice in your life, what would it be? Would it be getting what you want? In this case, that's what she wants. Is it that simple? I want what I want and I don't have justice till I get it? I mean, what is that statement? Don't have an answer, just want you to think about it for you. What does it mean to have justice? So, here's what he says. "Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll grant her justice that so she may not wear me out by continually coming." The lady is getting justice not because she might not be right. She may be right, may not be right. By the way, the person he's granting justice to her, the person has to deal with it. I wonder if they're getting justice. And we don't know that either. They may be right. She may be wrong. But she's the squeaky wheel. So who's getting oil? The squeaky wheel. So she keeps coming, and she keeps coming. And finally the judge says, "I've had enough. I give up." Now, in case you don't think you would do this, something like this, let me give you one example that you may not have lived yet, or you may have lived and have forgotten, but I want to give you one example. It's a simple one. You've just had a baby. Had a church family one time that they told us when we had our middle child that they would never give her, their baby, a pacifier. In fact, they quoted to us everything wrong with a pacifier that you give to a baby. What it does to their teeth, how it messes up their breathing, how it does something to their palate. They just started giving us all these different things that were wrong with pacifiers. And we're never going to give our baby a pacifier when we have one. I thanked them for their knowledge and let them go with that. About 3 years later, this family has a baby. Beautiful child. Got through the baptism. Great kid. One Sunday morning church, the child decides to have a moment. Y'all know moments, right? So they take the child out and bring it back in, and it still has a moment. They take the child back out and bring it back in. And the third time they take the child out and bring it back in. And the third time they come back after screaming and yelling and fussing and gnashing of teeth of the baby. The baby comes back in, and guess what's in the baby's mouth? Pacifier. All I did was grin at him. I didn't say I told you. I didn't say anything. I just grinned. After church, the woman comes up to me and says, I don't appreciate your attitude towards me on this. I said, all I did was grin. But I know what you were thinking. I said, yeah, you probably do. I said, just always remember, it's easy to parent when you don't have a child to parent. It's harder to parent when you have one. What happened? I'd found out that they hadn't been sleeping at night, that nobody was sleeping at night, and that the baby only slept during the daytime when they were going to work. And finally, they went to the store and bought 5 different pacifiers, and they found the one the baby liked. And they went and bought 5 more, so they had a way to keep their baby from doing what? Screaming, so they could do what? Sleep. Sleep deprivation is a marvelous thing if you know how to stop it. And you'll do what you need to do to quit. For the judge this way, his pasty has to go to the widow. Why? Because she won't stop. Now I want you to watch it. Because we've got this whole parable, but we still haven't got to the point that we began with. So watch it. I'll grant her justice, or she may not wear me out or continue coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? It transitions over from the unjust judge to God. And God, Jesus asked the question, will God delay in granting you justice? Now, since we haven't defined justice, because it's different for you and me, you would say, well, justice is justice. Not necessarily. What's just for me may not be just for you. Justice in God's eyes is the same, but not necessarily for us. So, God's going to give you justice. And then he says he'll grant justice quickly. But here's the actual point. What's the first question? Parable, he said to them, pray always and not lose heart. As your opening point, here's the closing point, which completes the story, and it's where Jesus is getting to. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? All this gets to the final point. Final point, yes, it's about justice. Yes, it talks about praying to God. Yes, it talks about God loving us and God granting us justice. There's all those things, but listen to the point. If God came back today, would he find faith to the level of people praying always and not giving up heart? Or losing heart, would he find in us this wonderful sense of belief and faith that we didn't lose heart in the midst of the worst, in the midst of our doubt, in the midst of all that we are in that process? Is he going to find faith of people who are praying always and not giving up? Or is he going to find people who have given up? What's he going to find? What's he going to see? If he looked at our country, would he find faith? If he looked at our churches, would he find faith? If he looked at us individually, if he walked into Mary Lynn and David Tabor's house, would he find faith of consistent prayer and consistent hope and consistency of giving to God all that we have? Would he find that kind of faith in us? Or would he find a hope-so faith? I hope it turns out all right. I hope things go well. What would he find? See, the thing about this is there's only one person for each of us can answer that question. I can't answer it for Mary Lynn. She can't answer it for me. Who's the only person who can answer for ourselves? Us. So if I go blame somebody for my lack of faith, what's Jesus going to say? Yeah, I don't think so. Now, we can blame people for testing our faith. We can blame people for hurting us. We can blame people from coming after us and causing us issues. We can even be the widow who seeks the judge to find justice. We can do all those different things. But the fullness of faith is about us and God. And while Christianity may be a communal religion that we are called together to worship and take communion and pray with each other, while it may be those things, the reality is salvation and our faith is about us and God. Nobody else. So my friends, if he came into this sanctuary today, amongst the people who actually came to worship Jesus, and God bless you for that. If he came in and found us, would he find a faith that's alive and real? Or just a faith that's hoping everything's going to be okay? Well, that's a great question. It's one that Jesus asked. Will I find faith or not? Let's pray together. We don't know, Lord, about everybody here. Sometimes my faith is 100%. I've got it. Sometimes I have to admit that I have days that my faith is not as strong, that I've allowed things around me to interrupt that faith, and I've allowed myself to get caught up in that lack of faith. I think if all of us in this room would admit it, we all walk through those valleys and peaks of faith. And yet, as we have heard over and over again, pray about faith till you have it, and then once you have it, continue to pray that you keep it and keep it strong. And then share it, so it'll get even stronger. May we on this day be an example of faith to the world. And we pray this prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, the altar is open for you to come and pray. Justice will be given. Let faith be who you are. Page 368, My Hope Is Built. Let us stand and sing together.
Let us pray together. And now allow us to go in your peace. Let us go in your faith. Let us go in your hope. And let us not lose heart. May the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's grace be upon us. And may we go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.